Welcome back. The species definitely has appeared to amuse itself to death. It's unfortunate, but here we are. If you want to call in, number's 512-248-8252. Give us a call. Let us know your thoughts. What the heck's going on? We got Andy in Texas. Andy, tell us what you think, bud.
Oh, hey, thanks for taking my call, my friend, and welcome to the network.
Thank you.
Wow. You know, we got our big guy. We call him Alex Jones. You know, and today I just happened to catch his show, and he just happened to be talking about this directive energy stuff and whatnot. And he says in Maui that that's not directive energy. But when you see these trees not burning and you see all the tires melted there and all the buildings burning down, but the trees are still standing and stuff. And then there's videos out there, and who knows if it's real or fake with this CGI and this AI stuff and whatnot. But you can see the same things that happened in California back in the California fires. Wherever this little ray came down from the sky, it caught fire and things just started burning left and right. And it was exactly where the ray came down at and stuff. So we can, for me, I can conclude that Alex Jones is just rhetoric. He's a poser. He's the reason he's still on the air is because he agreed not to tell the truth anymore. He'll go so far as to tell the truth, but he's just not going to go all the way to tell the truth. But again, how do we even know that he did say that he does believe they do have direct energy? But he said it was some sort of a nuclear thing, and he said that there's only a few of those up there, and so they couldn't just move them wherever they wanted. And it's just almost a ridiculous conversation. These people are trying to kill us, and they're taking every means possible that they could do. Whether they're going to burn you out, starve you out, or feed you bugs to kill you out, or shoot you up with a shot that's going to kill you, this is 100%. Remember Jesse Ventura on his show, The Conspiracy Theory, with Alex Jones and whatnot, and that lady flew in from, what was it, Panama? And she flew in and she told him straight up, no, the great culling is about to begin. Not now, not today, not tomorrow, maybe not next week, maybe not even next year, but the great culling is about to occur. Oh, wait, well, why don't you come and sit down? No. As soon as I'm done here, I'm getting back on the plane and I'm leaving the country because I don't feel safe here.
Well, apparently she came back to the country. Remember when she heard it? She was a doctor for some sort of elite queen or something. You know, some sort of princess or queen. She was a doctor. And that's where she heard it. Remember that?
Yeah, and she's been back in the United States, and she's been on Alex Jones' show in studio, if I'm not mistaken. So she decided, well, there's no place safe. I guess I might as well come back to the United States or whatever. Is all of this a lie? Is everything that we're hearing a lie? I don't think so. I think these people are really trying to kill us.
Well, the thing, I like to use Alex Jones and Joe Rogan as good examples. These guys all run in the same circles. They all like self-promote, and you can kind of tell how they do it. They all get in this group, and they're all like kind of talking about the same topics, you know, and they give some truth. Like, there's certain things that you can glean from an Alex Jones show that might be factual, but you and I know that he's never going to tell you about the tribe, about the parasite, about the book I'm reading on the show, you know. He'll never tell you about those topics. Neither will Rogan. And Rogan won't call out Musk for what he is. Elon Musk is another puppet, another agent. And, you know, they just, it's like this little self-promoting machine, basically. And even people like Dane Whittington, you know, from Geoengineering Watch, he's probably a controlled opposition because he still believes in this, like, man-made climate change BS, even though he's calling out the whole chemtrail stuff. So, you know, you got to wonder with people like him, like what he's doing, you know?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, have you ever heard of Mike Morales? He just recently died, but this guy was a big YouTuber, and he was talking about the chemtrails and stuff, and he was using this this burner fuel or whatever that they use out to create clouds out in the ocean because the air flow over in the Pacific Ocean, it was called bunker fuel. And Steve Bannon, I call, or Steve, or not Steve Bannon, Dean Wigington, I called up when he was on Steve Elkin's show. And I said, well, what about this bunker fuel stuff? And he said, oh, no, that's irrelevant. And it's not irrelevant because they send off sulfur. They buy the cheapest flipping diesel fuel and they shoot it off out of their back of their boats and stuff. And there's several hundred boats that are doing it. And this stuff goes up in the clouds and it has sulfuric acid in it and whatnot. And it creates a cloud and whatnot, which is what they want to do. Or it can also disintegrate a cloud. There's a lot of things that are going on. The people that we believe in are actually telling us the truth, are really not telling us the truth. And so we're in a world where you got to question everything. And if you're not questioning everything, you're not doing your job. Because once right. you grab onto something and think that it's the truth, that's when you should rethink everything you're doing. Just like this right. this politician stuff. I mean, how are we gonna solve this with politicians? We should all feel sorry for Donald Trump for being indicted for five different things or whatever. Oh, it's just cannon fodder. Do you think he'll ever go right. to prison? He's not even nope. being fingerprinted or mugshot yet. But they're just throwing this out at us and stuff. And then he's running around as arrogant as possible, like, ah, they ain't got nothing. We got it. Don't worry about it. They're trying to get to me. They're trying to get to you through me. I'm the only thing standing between you and them. Oh, great. Oh, great. We got one guy, superhero Trump. He's going to save us all. This is, I mean, I'd like to say happy horse crap. I'd like to say the other word. It's just a whole bunch of stuff. Everything is cannon fodder. Your Ukrainian war, cannon fodder. That's a money laundering and a depopulation thing going on. They're killing all their civilians. Right. Notice how war works out here. People at the top decide they want to go to war with somebody, but they never go fight the war. They send all of us ungrateful people, apparently, or what goyim. They send the goyim to go fight their war, and they don't care how many of us get killed. All they care is that we fight the war. And then they tell us how great these people are that survived and they're missing a leg and they got brain damage now from bombs and all this stuff. And then they tell us how great these people are. And I can say this. I was in the military. I know what's going on with this. They tell us how great they are and stuff, but they don't tell us that it was a worthless war. And, you know, like Mike Rivero used to say, all wars are banker wars. Or you can go with Smedley Butler. War is a racket. And it is. We're fighting wars for corporations. We're fighting wars for bankers. We're fighting. We're doing the World Economic Forum. We're doing the New World Order's deeds. We're doing what these guys want us to accomplish. And they're telling us to do it in a patriotic manner. And they're making everybody feel like, I mean, I get tired of people telling me, thank you for your service. I almost want to punch them. Because my right. service wasn't anything to do with your freedom. Not one bit of it was to do with your freedom. But you're going to thank me for the service. It's just, I don't know, I'm just feeling like it's a crock of horse crap.
Well, you know, and I feel your frustration, man, because, like, it's hard living in this world, seeing this insanity unfold. And, you know, more than half the people you know don't see it. You know, you can talk to them about any one of these topics we brought up, and you know, sometimes they get triggered and freak out and, you know, shut you down. And it's a difficult thing to deal with sometimes. I get it. But I think, yeah, we definitely got to be mindful of who we're listening to. And I'm only listening to people that have no financial interest in this thing. You know, the people that are doing it for the love of it versus, like, you know, selling a product. You know, Alex Jones, Rogan, these guys are all making millions and millions of dollars hand over fist. And you know, they're supported by the, you know, the bankers, basically, in some way, shape, or form. You know that there's so many actors out there that it's almost mind-boggling. In fact, I was listening to something the other day that said that Rothschild family has probably over 100,000 offspring throughout time. And I wouldn't doubt that, thinking about how many actors and situations arise that are just like, you know, how did this, like, no name Bill Clinton or Hillary Clinton come up from startup, you know, to startup. You know, these are probably Rockefeller, you know, plants, like Zuckerberg, you know, another plant, probably another Rockefeller. Musk.
Barack Obama.
Obama is another great example. Thank you. They come out of nowhere. And then all of a sudden, they're the senator and they're the president, you know? So you got to wonder, how many people are in on this?
Well, the bummer is, and here's my theory here, that most people aren't even watching the news, whether it be Fox, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, whatever. They're not even watching it. They're just getting up every day doing their normal routines and whatnot. They don't really care. They just don't give a rat's behind. And the thing is that therein lies our problem, because we need more people. Even if they just watched Fox, at least they'd have a little bit, because Fox is going a little further than most of these places. You look at MSNBC, they're talking about how Trump's being indicted. You watch Fox, and they're talking about how Hunter Biden should be indicted. And it's just a give-and-go kind of thing. And these are all just, again, cannon fodder. Even though all the stuff might be true, it's just cannon fodder because there's nothing going to happen. The whole system is rigged. George Soros did a fine job of buying off all of these different prosecutors, judges, and governors, and all this other stuff. I mean, look at Newsom in California. He's a WEF guy. Putin's a WEF guy, and so we think that there's a real war going on. If Russia was really the superpower that they say they are, Ukraine would have been destroyed by now, and they'd be stepping back going, United States, what are you going to do? No, he's playing a part. The whole thing is a damn, the world is a stage, as Shakespeare said.
Yep. I'm glad you said that, because, I mean, so many, you've got some of these Putin tards out there, you know. I could see why they're disgruntled and they're upset with their country here. But, I mean, give me a break, like, you think this guy's not playing an act? You know, he was a WF graduate. You know, he's Kissinger's best friend, basically. Come on, dude. Like, this guy is not doing anything to fuck the system.
Well, hey, none of these people in charge. And look when COVID-19 came out. What did they do? They killed, like, three African leaders and the Haitian leader. Why?
Yes.
Because they said no to the vaccine. They said no to this whole COVID stuff. And so, if you're not playing the game, we're going to kill you. Boom, they killed them. And they got their puppets in there. Look at Bolsonaro in Brazil. This guy is the guy in charge. He lost to whatever that thug was that's been in prison for a while. Who would ever thought that would happen? Well, they're just putting people in there that are going to do their job and whatnot. And their job is to destroy the world. And look at how they are destroying the world. They don't care. The EPA, what's that stand for? Extra-perceptual exception. Environmental Protection Agency. Our environment is screwed up. They're not doing their job. And the FDA, it's the Food and Death Association. They're right. Approving food that'll kill you. I mean, now they just approved 3D food. They just approved these guys making chicken out of chicken cells instead of just growing a chicken and cutting it up and feeding it to us. I mean, this is what these people are doing, and people don't know this. Only people who listen to shows like yours and other shows and stuff, then we know this stuff. We understand what's going on, but most of the people just don't listen to the news. News is like, you know, they'd rather watch Family Guy or something like that as opposed to listening to the news. I mean, as soon as the news comes on, you change it to a cartoon or something, or you change it to a sitcom or something. They just don't want to hear it. And therein lies, I think, the biggest problem we have is because if most of these people could even get an inkling, we might have a chance to reverse this. But then there's this other situation here. These people are so arrogant. Look at the people they put into office so far. Joe Biden, a bumbling idiot. They got that thing they call the health secretary, general, admiral, whatever, some sort of guy-girl thing. And then they got that ball-headed knucklehead taking care of our nuclear power plant or nuclear waste or whatever his thing is. And he's about as gay as gay gets, and he likes to steal people's luggage and wear their clothes. I mean, these are the idiots that they're putting in. They're arrogant. So if you look at their arrogance, you got to see this. You got to see this clear as day. They don't give a crap if we wake up. because they've got something in store for us should we ever wake up and decide we want to grab arms and go take care of business. They think they already got it covered. And I think that's the reason why they just don't care. They're arrogant. Right. Why did they blatantly steal the election with Biden? Because they're arrogant. They know we wouldn't do anything about it. And when we tried to do something about it by having a million-man march, so to speak, on January 6th, what did they do? They arrested people for nothing. Gave them 18, 20-year sentences for nothing. And that was just to shut us down so that we wouldn't stand up. And so right. We got to find some brave people, because we got to get past this thing. We got to get past these guys integrating into our society and taking it over. We got to get past the FBI trying to kill Whitmer and then blaming it on the five guys they got, you know, convinced to go do it or whatnot. I mean, it's just so arrogant. It's in your face kind of stuff. And yet people just get up and go about their business. They accept the inflation. They accept the gas prices. They accept everything that's going on in this world without even thinking about it whatsoever at all. They just, well, eventually it'll come back down, or right. Eventually we'll get over it. Or maybe I'll make some more money and this won't matter anymore. It's just past a joke. I'm sorry. I took up a lot of your time, Chief.
No, man, that's great, Andy. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate your comments, because I agree with you. You know, the other common thing I hear is, well, there's nothing I could do about it, so, oh, well.
Yeah.
So, well, great. If we, you know, thanks for the demoralized pep talk.
Exactly. Thanks for making me feel better. You know, you spill your guts to somebody who actually listens to you, and then they look at you and say, what are you going to do about it? I don't know. I thought I'd tell you, and we could talk about it, you know? No conversation beyond that.
What everybody's thinking and feeling, and I think we all confirm our own sanity here, you know, with these kind of shows. Absolutely. We know we're not insane, because there's other people out there that see the same things or putting together these same patterns and going, wait a minute, what the heck, you know? Did you follow this thing in Hawaii? Have you ever heard of wildfires in Hawaii?
Oh, no, I've never heard of wildfires. I've only heard of volcanoes in Hawaii.
Right, right.
Yeah, and we've lost, what, 36 people got killed, or 50-something people got killed now?
Right.
And the fires are spreading so flipping quick that it's just crazy. It makes you wonder if there is that ray coming down from, they just keep firing it, you know, that's boom, 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 boom. And who knows if that's real or not? I don't have a clue. I mean, all I can see is videos of people, you know.
I've got a friend that's claimed that that stuff is real, and he's seen it. And in that third video I played, they actually pretty much vaporize a woodpecker that's near this little test thing, and this thing just disappears in a puff of smoke, and it's basically by frequency. They just turned it up, and it just, and my a friend of mine basically said that he's seen that thing in action just like that. So
the only reason why I think Hawaii, you know, the little death ray that they're sending down, is because I've seen it in California. And where these little rays come down from the sky and stuff is exactly where the fires started and stuff. And the same thing happened in California. The trees remained, but the houses and cars were fried. You know?
Right.
I mean, how do you burn all this down without the trees?
Right. All right, Andy, we got to take a break real quick. You want to hang tight?
Hey.
You can hang tight?
Oh, hang tight. Guys, sure. Why not? System.
To buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Well, every man is torn apart with nightmares and with dreams. Well, no one.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. All right, we got another half hour in the final hour here. I think we still got Andy here online. And if anybody wants to call in, 512-248-8252. And after we get done with Andy, if nobody calls in, I'm going to read a James Traficant speech on the floor of the House of Representatives. So that should be interesting. Andy, what else you got? What's going on in Texas these days? Are you still there?
Oh yeah, I am still here, and I'm in Trump territory. I'm down here in Fredericksburg, Texas, and it seems to be Trump territory. There's one guy here who likes to put Biden signs out all over the place and stuff, but it's Trump territory. And I talk to a lot of people down here, and these people seem to think that they're awake. And there's only so far I can go with them because they really don't know the deal. They only know that Trump's being persecuted right now and that he's the greatest president we ever had. And we got to get him back in 2024. And this is the misconception to everybody because Trump's just a puppet. Trump was a puppet from the get-go. What did Trump do? Trump ran us into to the COVID-19 last year of his time in the presidency, and he signed us over to FEMA, and he brought Fauci in. He turned us all over to this entire whatever bureaucracy of garbage, and people still think he's the guy that's going to take us out of this. Ladies and gentlemen, he walked you into it, and now you're expecting him. And what did he say in his first? Well, lock her up. We're gonna clear that swamp. We're gonna get rid of the swamps. Drain that thing. And
beam
now he's
me up.
Right.
What's that?
Please.
I don't know what.
How about window urinals? Beam me up.
but on the same token, look, I'm not against Trump. I think he's a nice guy and stuff, and he's just being used. He's a puppet. But, you know, when you'd say all your through your entire first election, you say, lock her up, and he goes with it, with the crowd. He gets every crowd saying, lock her up, and then he has his presidential dinner, and he has the Clinton stand up, and he has everybody give him a standing ovation because they've done great things for our country. And, right. and you get to see this on video. I mean, when stuff like that happens, that just takes it all away. And then you also see him when he's in his office in the Trump Towers and he points at the Tree of Life. He says, that's my greatest accomplishment is earning the Tree right. of Life from the Jewish people. And that, I was like, are you kidding me?
That's the masters right there, you know. I mean, Israel loved him. They still love him. I mean,
he moved their capital to Jerusalem.
They believe that he's got the lineage of King David, basically. Honestly.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. Like, that's my problem with the Trump tards, what I call them. They mean well, and they're almost there. They see a lot of the same things, except they just cannot, like, put their little hope porn down. They have to, like, have this belief that there's some sort of white hats. There's this team that's, you know, coming to save us and blah, blah, blah. I mean, they fell into this Q trap, and some of them are still stuck there. And, you know, I get it. There's a lot of weird things going on. There's a lot of weird coincidences. And there's a lot of decent things that Trump did do. However, at the end of the day, he basically left us hanging. And you know, he never... He's like Jones or Rogan. Like, he'll never go the full step, you know, and open up the 9/11 investigation. Well, if you would have done that, buddy, I think, you know, we all would have known directly who was involved with that, you know, huge false flag. And that was your buddies over there in Israel. So,
yeah, he would have exposed them. He would have
throw me a freaking bone here.
He would have totally exposed them. I think Saudi Arabia was involved in it. I think Israel was involved in it. And I think the Bushes and Cheney and Rumsfeld, they were all involved in 9/11.
They were all involved in it. Right.
And,
but Israel had
some dude in a cave in Afghanistan did it.
Right. Come on, dude.
Who had a problem with his kidneys, Marfan syndrome.
Right.
Yeah. You're getting kidney dialysis in a cave. Yeah. All right, Chief, I'll let you go, man. You have a good night.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling, Andy. I really appreciate it.
You bet.
Now, yeah, Andy brought up some good points.
I'll
Thank
call you.
You
again.
I really appreciate it.
Right.
I mean, I couldn't agree more with what he said in his frustration with a lot of the Trump people. I don't get it. I just don't get it. And it drives me nuts sometimes. And I see what Andy's saying. He's a decent guy in some respects. He has done some good things. He pulled us out of the Paris Accord. But what does Biden do? As soon as Trump's gone, he goes in and doubles down. And then everybody forgets about it. You know, Trump's never talked about it since. You know, he's still the godfather of the vaccine. You know, he could have fired Fauci. He could have pardoned all those January 6th big, dangerous, bad insurrectionists. But no. He pardoned some garbage, it sounds like. You know, people that, like, no-name people you haven't even heard of. And why didn't pardon those people? You know, you got to wonder. Oh, you know, and he I think he was pardoning Pollard. Didn't that happen under his watch? I think it did. From the kids who went to Hooters after school. We're all triggered and defensive. We're all racist and we're sexist. We are back, guys.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Now it's trendy to be triggered and pretend you're a victim. It's my race, it's my weight.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names. Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Welcome back. All right, it's a quiet night. I think I'm going to read a James Traficant speech on the House, on the floor of the Representatives, House floor. And, you know, had I known about this in 1993 when he read this, might have led me down a different road sooner than I got on it. But for some reason, most of this country has been asleep at the wheel for many, many years. And many years later, I learned about James Traficant and why he's important. So, get right into it. Again, this is read on the United States Congressional Record, Bankruptcy of the United States, March 17th, 1993. All right, we got a couple calls, but hang tight. Let me just read this. Volume 33, page H-1303, the Speaker is Representative James Traficant, Jr., Ohio, addressing the House. Mr. Speaker, we are here now in Chapter 11, members of Congress. We are official trustees presiding over the greatest reorganization of any bankrupt entity in world history in the U.S. government. We are setting forth, hopefully, a blueprint for our future. There are some who say it's a corner's report that will lead to our demise. It is an established fact that the United States federal government has been dissolved by the Emergency Banking Act, March 9, 1933, 48, Stat 1, Public Law 89-719, declared by President Roosevelt being bankrupt and insolvent, H.R.J. 192, 73rd Congressional Session, June 5, 1933. Joint resolution to suspend the gold standard and abrogate the gold clause dissolves the sovereign authority of the United States and the official capacities of all United States officers and departments, and is further evidence that the United States federal government exists today in name only.
The receivers of the United States bankruptcy are the international bankers via the United Nations and the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. All United States offices, officials, and departments are now operating within a de facto status and name only under emergency war powers. With the congressional Republican form of government now dissolved, the receivers of the bankruptcy have adopted a new form of government for the United States. This new form of government is known as democracy, being an established socialist communist order under a new governor for America. This act was instituted and established by transferring and or placing the office of the Secretary of Treasury to that of the governor of the International Monetary Fund. Public Law 94-564, page 8, section H.R. 13955 reads that, in part, the U.S. Secretary of Treasury receives no compensation for representing the United States, their lust for power and control. Since the inception of central banking, they have controlled the fate of nations. The Federal Reserve System is a sovereign power structure separate and distinct from the federal United States government. Hang with me a little bit longer. Prior to 1913, most Americans owned clear, allodial title to property, free and clear of any liens or mortgages, until the Federal Reserve Act of 1933 hypothecated all property within the United States, the federal United States, to the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve, in which the trustees, stockholders, held legal title. The U.S. citizen, tenant, franchisee was registered as a beneficiary of the trust via his or her birth certificate. In 1933, the federal United States hypothecated all of the present and future properties, assets, and labor of their subjects. The 14th Amendment, U.S. citizen, to the Federal Reserve System. In return, the Federal Reserve System agreed to extend the federal United States corporation all the credit money substitute it needed. Like any other debtor, the federal United States government had to assign collateral and security to their creditors as a condition of loan. Since the federal United States didn't have any assets, they assigned the private property of their economic slaves, U.S. citizens, as collateral against the unpayable federal debt. Almost there. They also pledged the unincorporated federal territories, national parks, forests, birth certificates, nonprofit organizations as collateral against federal debt. All has already been transferred as payment to the international bankers. Unwittingly, America has returned to its pre-American Revolution feudal roots, whereby all land is held by a sovereign and the common people have no rights to hold a loyal title to the property. Once again, we the people are the tenants and sharecroppers renting our own property from a sovereign in the guise of the Federal Reserve Bank. We the people have exchanged one master for another. This has been going on for over 80 years without the informed knowledge of the American people, without a voice protesting loud enough. Now, it's easy to grasp why America is fundamentally bankrupt. Why don't more people own their properties outright? Why are 90% of Americans mortgaged to the hilt and have little or no assets after all debts and liabilities have been paid? Why does it feel like you're working harder and harder and getting less and less? We're reaping what has been sown, and the result of our harvest is a painful bankruptcy and a foreclosure on the American property, precious liberties, and a way of life. Few of our elected representatives in Washington, D.C. have dared to tell the truth. The federal United States is bankrupt. Our children will inherit this unpayable debt and the tyranny to enforce paying it. America's become completely bankrupt in the world leadership, financial credit, and its reputation of courage, vision, and human rights. This is an undeclared economic war, bankruptcy, and economic slavery of the most corrupt order. Wake up, America. Take back your country. And that's the end of James Traficant's speech. All right, you're up back, guys.
And ladies and gentlemen, the rest is history. The woman did void. Unbelievable. What's next? Chamber porta-potties? How about window urinals? Beam me up. I yield back the fact that when taxpayers say politics stink, they're not talking about the Roto-Rooter man.
It's a man, baby.
Oh, we're not on break? I'm sorry. I didn't know. Thought that was going to break. Let's take Mike in Kentucky. Sorry, guys.
when you merge the character of debt whore and beneficiary into the same person, it cancels the debt. Go back and read that sentence again. It said we made the beneficiary.
Right.
There's a maximum about that. If you know, the Federal Reserve notes, if you look up the definition in Black's Law Dictionary, it says they are the direct obligation, a direct obligation of the people of the United States. So you can't be the debtor and yet the beneficiary at the same time. So
right.
I've heard that pointed out in years past, but not recently. And when I've tried to look up that speech by James Traficant, it's edited. You don't hear all that text. It'd be nice to have, like, a link to the actual congressional record that has the entire thing. That's not that easy to find. Where did you find it?
My friend sent it to me. I think he was digging around on his computer and found some sort of old PDF he had.
He didn't get the link, though. There's not a current link for it. It could probably be found if you search some of those phrases, but I know I've seen the video of the first part of that where he says we're here presiding over the biggest bankruptcy or reorganization of the biggest bankruptcy in history.
Right.
But when they set up the general individual through the birth certificate as the beneficiary, I think that's a key to unraveling them be able to come after us, because we can't be a beneficiary and yet the creditor, the debtor.
Right.
A financial maxim that they violated if they didn't realize what they were doing.
But anyway, I think we were designed to be the
karaoke, creditors. But without a karaoke microphone and everything, Robbie Robinson, I think. His dad, his biological dad, was a Hebrew mafia guy, criminal, and he didn't know it. His mom broke it to him after his stepdad was being very abusive, but he just died, I think, yesterday. You know, he's one of the famous songs that they did was "The Night They Rolled Old Dixie Down," and all the people were singing. That song has a lot of Joan Baez sung it for some reason. I don't know, but which seems a little weird. But anyway, earlier Kelso inspired me. I'm going to have to work on a parody for the "Don't Fear the Reaper" song, because I think William Benny knows. And, you know, we should not fear the Israelis. I think it would be a great parody. Don't fear the Israelis. Watching all your children, you know. They were heavily into the slavery of the South.
Is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
I don't think so, but anyway, the answer's kind of interesting that these people play into all these nefarious activities. And I think that's why they got kicked out of Spain. They were playing broker for all the slaves. In Charleston, South Carolina, they were the slave brokers. So they sort of fought for the South, you know. It's kind of weird. They were on both sides of it, though, trying to break up the United States as far as the Civil War goes. But big surprise, there's probably a big player in human trafficking now today, slavery. They never really got out of the industry.
And they completely controlled and dominated the slave trades of the past. I mean, they you know, took on pseudonames and basically, you know, they were the ship owners, basically. They made all the money.
Well, they used back the Barbary Pirates. I think for hundreds of years they used the Barbary Pirates to dominate commerce along the Mediterranean, and they were the ones that shipped the slaves out to the Muslim warlords. You know, old Tamerlane is like, "I want 1,000 blonde virgins." Well, okay, yeah, we'll fill that order, and then they got them out of France and Spain. You know, so right. And that went on for 350 years before the Christians of Europe finally got some. Had enough, I guess, and did a few of the Crusades and the Spanish Inquisition and that kind of stuff. And you can understand why when you put it in context. They had 350 years of that crap. They'd had enough of it. So they were routing out the contagion, the problem. And if you weren't going to be a loyal Christian, you needed to leave. So the Christian's not for Israel in the last series of blood moons made a big deal. That John Hagee made a big deal out of the Jews being kicked out of Spain. And there was four blood moons in the 1490s. Well, that happened after they were kicked out of Spain. That didn't happen before. So it wouldn't be a good harbinger or sign. Anyway, it would have to be happen before. And NASA's the one that tells Hagee and the rest of us that those happened, because they happened all around the planet. Not everybody in Spain or Israel could see them. Kind of like the ones that we had in the, you know, 4 years ago. They didn't occur everywhere to where everybody saw them. You only saw them if it was nighttime where you were at. You know, 12 hours later, it was nighttime on the other side of the planet. And so they saw some of them. But it's a kind of a psychological operation that was done on the churches to convince them that it's a some kind of, you know, sign of the Israelis being still the chosen ones, because it fell on their holidays, you know. Well, duh. Right. The lunar calendar, they have a lunar calendar, so the eclipse of the moon is going to occur in the middle of their month, because that's when the full moon occurs. Duh. So, you know, it's kind of...
What song were you referencing earlier? We'll see if we can find it so we can play it. What do you know the title of that song?
I'm sorry, see if you can find
what song were you referencing, the parody?
Oh, I'm gonna have to work it up myself, because you know, what's his name, Kelso, did not realize that Don't Fear the Reaper, what was his name, Christopher Walken was playing a music producer, and Ricky Bobby, the one, I can't remember his name, he's banging on the cowbell, and what's his name is it's staged. It's like a recreation of their studio recording of Don't Fear the Reaper, Blue Oyster Cult. And so, you know, Christopher Walken's playing the producer of the record and saying, I need more cowbell. No matter how much cowbell he plays, he still wants more. You know, it's just Saturday Night Live being silly.
Right, right.
Blue Oyster Cult assembled in the recording studio in late 1976 for a session with famed producer Bruce Dickinson.
Yeah, so, you know, Christopher Walken was I don't know how many times he hosted Saturday Night Live. They kept bringing him back and kept bringing him back. And, you know, he was good to play kooky characters. And that was, but so that had kind of inspired me that I think I'm going to try to get a buddy of mine to do a parody of it. He does a lot of really bad parody songs. Nice. Don't fear the Israelis. They're spying on everything, you know. Human trafficking, I think there's no way that the Hebrew Mafia is not involved in that. They have a
sure, my message is simple.
Right.
They got a
huge chunk of the porn industry, too. And that alone is well over, like, $90 billion a year or something.
It's a man, baby!
You look back at it, and they were, like, favoring the lawyers were arguing every one of these, you know, like from Lenny Bruce, you know, on through to whoever, Bob Guccione, Larry Flint. I don't know about the Playboy guy, but they were making sure that the standards were lowered to where they kept corrupting American society, and they did that in Germany. And you have to dig to find out that what a lot of those book burnings were was burning pornographic stuff, you know, stuff that was, what would you say, featuring or glamorizing homosexuality and other vile stuff. Right. And so they were involved in that, publishing that. Now, you know, 25 years later, they're publishing it in the United States. And their lawyers are arguing in court that it's freedom of speech. It took until sometime in the mid-1980s, I think, late 80s, for the Supreme Court to finally rule community standards so that states and communities could put the porno magazines, Bob Guccione's We and Hustler, Larry Flint's was Hustler, I think, but, you know, they had, Spread Eagle stuff in there where Playboy was a little bit more artfully done, supposedly. Men could at least say, oh, well, I get Playboy for the articles, right? But they put sleeve covers on the magazines, so they were on the racks, and teenagers couldn't go and read, you know, Penthouse Forum with all the perverted stuff that was in there. If you've ever seen their little books, Penthouse Forum could not be openly displayed out on a magazine rack in the convenience stores. And, well, heck, I saw flea markets in broad daylight selling, you know, VHS porno tapes in the early 80s.
But the last time I checked, we don't have a whole lot of songs that feature the cowbell.
Cowbell.
Yeah, well, we don't need more cowbell. But I just thought that was, that would be a prime song for a good parody about the Israeli sex slave trade.
Right, that's pretty good,
don't
man.
Don't fear the Israelis. They're all up in your phone. William Benny should have known the software was given to the Israelis so that they're all up in everything, the chips, the phones, the servers, the sessionizers. What's his name? Carl Cameron did a report on that, and they caught the organized crime, the Israelis in Southern California. They were spying on the cops' phones and pagers, and they knew when to get a new home and move, when to roam, because the cops were coming after them. So they had to have help from their, you know, techie friends in Tel Aviv. So,
right.
You know, and those are full of Russians, too, by the way. There's all kinds of ethnic Russians that are in Israel that are involved in the tech industry.
That's the Talpiot program, where they bring over the best of the
best. So you can't have a discussion about human trafficking and being worried about your children without, I know youngsters that didn't have cell phones when they were 5, 6, and 7 years old, 10 years ago, and they were socially outcast, even in rural grade schools.
I gotta have more cowbell.
Yeah, they didn't have a cowbell either. They do now. One of them I know does, has two of them. But, and one of them actually says more cowbell on it.
I'd be doing myself a disservice and every member of this band if I didn't perform the hell out of this.
Anyway, that topic can't be ignored, I think, when you're talking about those issues. You have to, and the main reason I emphasize it is because I've experienced it several times. I've heard teenage girls' phones spewing out audio from their bedroom. And I thought about one time when I called up this one teenager and I told her what she'd been doing. I said, can I talk to your mom? And the mom got on the phone and said, what? This has been happening for how long? 10 years. Don't ever call here again. And I thought about calling back just to get a case in court so I could have a discovery process where I put all my evidence in there for what was going on for, at that time, about 14 years. And nobody could fix it from the phone company. Windstream, somebody complained about them. I never issued a formal complaint, but they had to pay some kind of crazy amounts of money after the FCC came in on them and rebuilding network centers, but it didn't fix the problems that I was having. And finally, in 2011, I think it was, I have witnesses that heard a 5-year-old safety phone know in hell that kid dialed my phone, locked up our line. You could hear him playing in his bedroom at home. So I called the phone back, and he's like, hello? He's really puzzled. And so I said, can I talk to your mom or dad or an adult? And you can hear him running through the house with the phone out at arm's length going, Mom! And she answers the phone sounding really puzzled or bewildered because she just bought the damn phone. This was a Sunday afternoon. I was having a meeting in our office, and she just bought the phone like Thursday or Friday and had it programmed to call mom, dad, and emergency. The kid could not dial my number. There was no number in there except for grandma was in the same area code, but it was a completely different number. And so I have a witness for that. And finally, some of the police around town started believing me. A private investigator who had been, he switched his tune. He said, "Mike, I think they're harassing you." And I know better. I think it was a glitch. They were overloading the networks with all the spying. So many different cooks in the kitchen that the forward error correction was goofing up and sending, misrouting it. I would have thought they were picking on me, and I would have believed that dang private investigator, who's an ex-cop. We're out of time. If there weren't other people that had the same problem.
Right. Well, Mike, I appreciate calling in. Thank you much. You know, I do agree that we got to talk about those issues, and I was kind of waiting to get on those another time, but I agree, those are big issues that can't go unnoticed. So I appreciate you calling in. Anyways, folks, thanks a lot. If you guys want to check out the links that we were talking about today, I highly recommend you go check out those videos and look deeper, not just watch those videos posted, but look back in their history and see some of the stuff they're saying and some of the evidence that they have. You can find it on republicbroadcasting.org. I'm sure it'll be linked under the show. So go in there and check them out. And, we'll be talking about some following up, some other follow-up and more on this Maui thing comes out. And, you know, I do think we got to keep an eye on this stuff because, like the other caller said, they're trying to burn us out, starve us out, freeze us out, whatever it takes. So we got to be vigilant. We'll talk about prepping and building your local teams another day. So anyways, hope you all have a great weekend. Thanks for joining. Thanks for listening to RBN, and have a good night. See you next time.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023. At antelopehillpublishing.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting.